Hi there, my name is Pete Perfides and I'm delighted to be joined here today by Sir Tom Jones. Tom, lovely to see you.
Thank you, nice to be here.
You look very well.
I feel good.
The album, Surrounded by Time,
yeah,
by any metric, has been a huge success. I think you're now the oldest artist ever to earn a number one UK album, with an album of newly recorded material having overtaken Bob Dylan.
Yeah, they told me that. So that was, it's a great thing. But Bob Dylan, you know, great company.
One more cup of coffee for the road. One more cup of coffee before I go to the valley below.
You've really hit a groove here of music which I think kind of reflects a lot of your early musical passions in life.
Yes. When I had a hit with It's Not Unusual, which was the first song that I had a hit with in 1964, I recorded it, there was brass on there.
To the valley below.
The thing is, when you get a hit with a certain sound, they want more of the same. So my career sort of went that way. You know, everything was had big arrangements on there. But when I was singing in clubs and pubs in Wales, I just had a rhythm section. And I'm back to that now again.
To the valley below.
You know, I go out now with the rhythm section instead of bap to bap, you know, with the brass, the guitar now is going ding it ding ding it ding. So I've come full circle.
This record obviously is preceded by a lot of emotional upheaval. In a way, we're sort of parachuted into it with I Won't Crumble If You Fall, which was originally a song by Bernice Johnson from Sweet Honey in the Rock. Mm-hmm. But like so much of this album, you make it into a Tom Jones song.
Yeah. I Won't Crumble is about my wife, you know, because she had lung cancer and she was dying and she knew it. And I was there, you know, saying, I don't know whether I'm going to make it. You know, I mean, I was shattered because I'd never known life without this woman, you see. She'd always been in my life since we were kids. Yeah. And when she was dying, she said, look, you don't, she didn't say crumble, but it was like, you know, she said, don't fall with me. Yeah. Don't come, you know, I've got to go. I know I have. And she's very strong and very sort of matter of fact, you know, that's, we've had a great life and, you know, this is it, but don't fall with me. You've got to carry on. You must.
I will wake in the morning if you call. And I'll stand beside you as long as I can. I will hold back the evening of your son, but I won't crumble with you if you fall.
It strikes me that you're, you know, ultimately you're a records man, and what's evident on this record is sometimes your record collection is very useful to you when figuring out what to do on your new albums. There are songs that you've had sort of kicking around there from, you know, for 5 decades or so.
That's right. Well, I'm growing old.
Yeah.
You know, that was given to me by Bobby Cole, who wrote it, and he gave me that in the early 70s. So he said, you'd sing the hell out of it. So played it in my dressing room at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and I said, I love the song, but I don't think I'm old enough to sing it. You know, I was only like 32 or 33. I said, if I ever do get to be old, you know, if I'm lucky enough to become an old man, then I'll do it. So that's this album was ready for that.
He probably wanted you to do it while he was still alive, so he could see you do it.
Well, yeah, more than likely. I mean, he would have made some money from it then, you know.
I'm growing wise, I'm growing, yes, I'm growing old.
We're all listening, the
It's got this amazing archival introduction, hasn't it? Kind of takes you back to the events.
1940, the year that Mark found that.
1940. Your son Mark, who manages you.
That's right. It was like a propaganda thing, you know. 1940 is a very important year because Battle of Britain, you know, we were up against it then. I was born in 1940, you see.
As the common man lived it. Lived it as never before, and never will live it again.
1940. We do that on stage as well, play that before I actually walk on and sing it.
It's fantastic.
So yeah, I hear that, 1940, you know, and you think, yeah.
So you sort of rise up from this archival noise. And
exactly, 1940, here I am.
Didn't Frank Sinatra give you some advice once?
Yes.
Didn't Frank tell you that you shouldn't sort of feel the need to sing the shit out of everything?
That's right. You don't have to sing the shit out of everything. Well, I do, actually.
Maybe Frank would be relieved on your behalf to hear on the new album that you speak a couple of songs. But that goes back to the thing, that wasn't that something to do with...
Hank Williams.
Hank Williams, yeah.
Yes. I had an album called... Beyond the Sunset, and it was he had taken on another name, Luke the Drifter, and he did Men with Broken Hearts. I mean, there's some heavy songs on the Beyond the Sunset, and I loved that. They were depressing songs, but real, you see. So I wanted to do real, something real, you know, something that like would make people think.
All tuned in before too soon. Watching a man walk on the moon. He made it look as easy as driving a car. Video killed the radio star. I got the talking blues.
Talking reality, television blues, broadly speaking, is about Donald Trump and the phenomenon that's, I guess, brought Donald Trump to power. Is that right?
Well, it's about the power of television. What it can do. You know, it's good and bad. It's a warning, really, I think. That's the way I hear it.
Then a show called The Apprentice came on, and pretty soon, an old man with a comb over had sold us the moon.
I guess you would have been as surprised as anyone to see what happened with the rise of Donald Trump, because, of course, you would have remembered him in a very different... You would have perceived him in a very different way.
Exactly. Well, I met Donald Trump in Atlantic City. You know, because he owned three of the hotels that I was singing at. And he used to come backstage, you know, and play boy businessman. That's the way I looked at him. And then singing, no, he's the president of the United States. I mean, my God, that's unbelievable.
I think the mark of a great song is that it has that flexibility, the elasticity, it stays alive. It's a bit like a tree. It kind of changes over time, mm-hmm. and it looks different. You know, it assumes a different kind of shape to how it was. And you seem to be very good at this.
Yes, I'm gonna be a pop star.
So you like with Pop Star, your version of the Cat Stevens song.
Yeah.
Which again, well, tell me, you tell me how that came about.
Okay. Well, Cat Stevens, I've always liked Cat Stevens. I knew him in the 60s. We did a TV show. We promoted records at the same time.
Oh, mama, mama, see me. Mama, mama, see me. I'm a pop star.
And he was always saying, oh, the record company want me to be more like a pop star. You know, and I want to write other things, not just pop, you know, for being poppy. So that's why you wrote that song.
Were you sort of secretly thinking, actually, I'd really like being a pop star?
I love being a pop star. Yeah, that's what I felt like saying.
Yes, I'm going on a TV.
Actually, correct me if I'm wrong. You're thinking about your first flush of fame.
Oh, definitely. It takes me right back. When I'm on the stage, it's amazing, but it makes you feel young again. Then he says about the cold bank.
Yes, I'm going to the cold bank.
I did ask him about this afterwards. You know, I said, well, why do you say... Well, he said, banks are cold, what do you think?
Mama, mama, see me, I'm home!
You know?
Let's talk about the other song on which we get to hear your spoken voice, Tony Joe White's On Mother Earth, which you really do something pretty radical to that song. Of course, you knew him, didn't you?
I did know him, yeah. I was only with him one night. We were in Toronto, in Canada. He was doing some things up there and I was doing some shows. So we were in the same hotel and we got together and we stayed up all night. He had the guitar out and we sang. Then I met one of his musicians years later and he said, I played with Tony Joe White. He said he called you the humor jukebox. I was coming up with all these songs, you know. And I think he wrote that one in the early 70s. And I loved it. I thought, my God, you know, it's about Earth, Mother Earth, the globe. What are we doing to this planet? I mean, my father was a coal miner. And when he was mining coal, he said, how long will this last? You know, how much can people take from the Earth? You know, you can't keep taking, taking, taking all the time.
Mother Earth. They have made so many scars upon your face. The beauty you once had could never be replaced.
Does it matter to you if the person that wrote the song sort of gives you their blessing? I'm thinking about your version of This Is the Sea, which I know Mike Scott of the Waterboys, who originally recorded it, was blown away by your version on this record.
Right, well, it's always lovely to hear that. I wouldn't ask, though. I wouldn't ask somebody what they think.
Why? Just for fear that you might not get the answer you want?
Yeah, like Prince, you know, when I did Kiss, you see, I saw Prince in Tramp in London in a club. And I said, thanks for the song. He said, thanks for recording it. I thought, I'm not going to ask anymore.
That was the river. And this is the sea.
It's a big song and it needs a big voice. But what was it about that song that made you sort of think, okay, this speaks to me?
Well, it's saying, this is it. You know, that was then, this is now. You know, things you can throw away, you better throw them away, you know. But there's still time. Like at the end, when he said there's a train coming. Yeah. Down the line, yeah.
Now I hear there's a train coming on down the line. It's yours if you hurry. You've got still enough time.
Yeah, it kind of almost becomes like a gospel song at that point.
Yeah.
I said you don't need no ticket.
Well, everything to me is gospel, you see. It's got a gospel tint. Life has got
that. That was the river. And this is the sea.
This record was just about finished, just in the nick of time before lockdown happened, right?
Yeah. The vocal was done just before the lockdown. We just got it finished in time.
Where did you spend most of lockdown?
In London. When my wife was ill, because I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself now. You know, I'm really in trouble. And I was. She said, you should go to London. You should start again. You should get away from LA, you know, or the house that we had together, and go and get yourself a flat in London and be close to the family.
You'll never leave me. You'll always be part of the person I'll become. And I'll never leave you. You give me memories that I know could never leave.
The thing that was bothering me was, how long is this going to take? Will we ever be able to go and do live shows ever again? You know, because I was 80 years old. I'm not 20 now, you know what I mean? I can't be hanging around here that long. But now, thank God, we're doing it, and I love it.
Surrounded by Time has been a resounding success, top of the charts. And now you've recorded two new songs to add to this new edition of
yes.
The album. Not Dyke Yet is another Bob Dylan song to add to the Dylan song that's already on there.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I love Dylan. You see, I would like to do a Dylan album, to be honest with you. But that, not Dark Yet, but it's getting there. You know, that's what the whole phrase is. I love the song. And then my son came up with the arrangement.
It's not dark yet, but it's getting there.
Then he found this other song that was done by a girl that's half Welsh.
Oh, Catel Kleineg, yeah. One Hell of a Life?
One Hell of a Life. And that's my favourite song at the moment. That's my favourite.
When I'm dead, please don't philosophize or feel regret. Just remember me when I say I had one hell of a life. One hell of a life. I had one hell of a life.
Can you see, though, if someone sees that, you know, that there are two new songs on the album, one is called Not Dark Yet, and one is called One Hell of a Life, which has got lyrics such as, when I'm dead, please don't philosophize or feel regret. Just remember me when I said I had one hell of a life.
That's right.
They might be a bit worried.
No. No, I don't think so. I mean, it's like I'm growing old. You know, it's the same thing. It's when, you know, he just keeps saying, when I die, when I go. I'm not planning on it anytime soon.
Good to hear it. Tom Jones, thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure.